All right. It is your girl, Brandi Grayson, the hostess with the mostest on 92.7 FM. You're tuned in to the Black Conversion Show, the woman who does get it from her mother. And I have to apologize ahead of time, y'all. There's something in my throat. Okay, so you're going to hear it in my throat. I know my voice probably sounds a little funny, but I'm here anyway, okay? So I know you guys have missed me. It's been like 3 weeks since I've recorded, and I'm sorry. The first 2 weeks, I just was out of it, and I don't know what happened last week. Oh, scheduling conflict with Luke, so that's that, you guys. But I'm back in the house. I have a lot of politics and tea. We're going to talk a lot about racism. Oh, surprise! Surprise not, because I always talk about racism, so here we are again. And again, you're tuned in to the Black Conversion Show. We always start off with just asking how we are. So my favorite producer, Luke, my white boy, my translator, right, is in the house today. So Luke, how are you doing? You've missed me, haven't you?
Oh, immensely.
I know you have, because no one makes you smile like me.
Hey, we were trying to go back and forth, try to get everything set so that we could record these last couple weeks, but it just didn't work out, and I'm glad to have you back here in the studio.
It didn't work out, but how you been doing?
I'm good.
What you been doing?
It's May, which is wild already. It's flying by. I can't believe the summer is kind of, we're starting to experience some nicer weather.
Yay!
The windows are open at the house. Yes. The dogs are enjoying the outside. Mm-hmm. And it's already a pain in the butt that I got to mow and do all those yard work tasks. So.
Amen. I know. I'm like, oh, I need to order some mulch. I need to go to Menards and pick up like 30 bags.
We went through about 20 bags this past week. So that we've been mulching. We moved hostas. We did a bunch of the cleanup stuff.
Oh, you guys are ahead of me.
It's funny. We go back and forth with our neighbors across the street where we're always yelling at each other. They're like, no, you can't be doing that because then we got to go out and do
right,
ours.
Don't make mine look bad.
Exactly. And so we've got some friendly competition going on with our neighbors across the street. But we hold each other accountable then.
Yeah.
So it's nice. But how are you doing?
I'm doing all right. I'm doing better than from the last time I was in the studio. Last time I was here, I had a whole breakdown, I broke down, okay? And I'm better today. It was a crazy week, a crazy few weeks for me as an individual and for Urban Triage. The pressure gets to be a lot sometimes. And the last time I recorded, I was pretty vulnerable, frustrated, emotional, and I don't feel any way about that. You know, the one thing I always say to people is we have to hold space for humanity. And I think it's hard for us to do that sometimes because we live in these strict constructs about what is acceptable and not acceptable. But humanness doesn't live inside those constructs at all. You know, it's just as humans, our emotions, life be life in, and things happen. So I just want to hold space for that. But since then, I've been doing good. When it's nice outside, I always do good. It's something about the sun that makes me really, really happy. I mean, I get up, let my dog out in the morning, and I just stand there. And I also have the privilege and the blessing of having a home that is the front of my house is full of trees. So I see birds, I hear birds, I see the sun reflecting. So I get this whole thing in the morning time with nature. And that makes me super, super happy. And I, you know, things just make sense when I'm outside. Like, okay, God, I hear you. I see you. So I'm doing pretty good. Shout out to the Urban Triage Squad. For our listeners, our newbies, or folks who are continuously like reoccurring listeners for the Black Conversion Show, I am the CEO and founder of Urban Triage, a local nonprofit organization in the area. I love my staff. They work so hard to execute on our visions, and we have many visions. A lot of things happening at once. So I just want to acknowledge them because they've been, you know, just doing the work big time and sacrificing a lot of time. And I just love them and I appreciate them. So today on the Black Conversion Show, I want to talk about a topic that we rarely talk about. I want to talk about the dark side of being pretty. Now, I know this is like to some people like what, but there is a dark side to being pretty, and we're going to discuss that. And we're also going to talk about the reaction that Trump got when he arrived at the Pope's funeral. I think that happened like on the 28th or something, but it was crazy, y'all. Can we also talk about Representative, I think her name is Proudy, outside. She's from Missouri. She's a Democrat, but she went off. And I just want us to listen to her and break down, like provide some analysis. I'm a new fan of her. If you don't know Representative Proudy out of Missouri, look her up. The sister is no joke, as always. I think she's like one of those Crawford ladies that just has been going unnoticed. We're also going to define today the psyche of racism. Like, why is racism this thing? And why is it so insidious? And why is it so ignorant, right? So as we have been listening to Trump, all the things that's occurring in our country, I don't have another word for it except for ignorance and like this lack of connection with humanity. And we're also in that same, we're going to talk about Shiloh Hendricks. I don't know if you heard about Shiloh Hendricks, if I'm saying her name right. She's a young lady out of Minneapolis, I believe, who raised over $700,000 to protect herself after she went viral for calling a black boy, a Samoan boy, he looks black, calling him the N-word because she had left her baby's toy, like in the park. And he was in the park with his family and she left the toy and the little 5-year-old picked it up because that's what 5-year-olds do. They find things and they play with it. My son does it all the time, right? And she called him an N-word. So let's break down what's occurring, that we have a country full of Christians, supposedly. This is a Christian website and we're going to talk about that as well, where they raised over $700,000 because she feared for her life because she went viral. This is crazy. Also on the news, there's a black man. I'm going to look up the information, but there's a black man that's in the news for killing a police officer after his son was murdered in cold blood by a police officer. I don't believe it's the same police officer. So there's this controversy in social media about was the murder of this innocent cop justified? And was the murder of this young black boy justified? And some people are praising the dad for an eye for an eye. I have some mixed feelings about it, right? Because And we'll get into all of that. But these are the topics that we're going to discuss today. I also want to remind you today on 92.7 FM, the Black Conversion Show with your girl, Brandi Grayson. I want to remind you that Urban Triage is hosting the Black Brilliance Gala on May 31st at the Overture Center for the Arts. It is a fundraiser. The funds will go to our agriculture program, which at this time is unfunded. Our agriculture program was funded by USDA when our president, your president, Trumpity Dumpity, came into office. He cut off all federal funding for farmers and farming programs and all those things that made food accessible and farming accessible for poor rural folks and for folks who are serving or providing farming support services. And Urban Triage is one of those organizations that have been impacted along with REAP and Rooted and other programs in the area. So come out, join us on May 31st. Our program starts at 6:00. It is an award program. We will be honoring unsung heroes in our neighborhood and in our community. And this year I'm super excited because the folks that have been chosen by the community, because this is a People's Choice Award, are predominantly from the South Side of Madison. And why this is important and historical is because the Black Brilliance Gala, our intention is to celebrate those who kind of go under the radar. And the South Side in our area has been the foundation for Black people and Black families since the beginning. And when I say the beginning, I mean over the last 100 years. So when folks migrated here, it was the South Side, Regent Street area, the Triangle area. If you're from Madison, you know what I'm talking about, over where West Wash and Park Street kind of intersect all the way down. And there was some Regent Street area that was predominantly Black homes and owned by Black people. And over the years, of course, gentrification and, you know, all the things that move Black people out of neighborhoods has occurred. So to celebrate community members who have contributed to our community and have been like, I don't know what to say, but people that have been known to be active in the South Side of Madison, I think it's amazing. So you guys should come out and support. You can get your tickets on urbantriage.org. That's urbantriage.org. That's urbantriage.org. Okay. Tickets are $175. The night it's going to be dope. We got airless in the air. Okay. We got drummers and African dancers. We have violinists. We have saxophonists. We have a jazz band playing R&B. We have hors d'oeuvres, and you eat 3 times at our gala, which is absolutely unheard of. So at the beginning, you have all kind of little fancy ham foods that are good. Overture Center food is good. You know, unlike other places, we have galas where the chicken is dry. You will not experience that at the Black Brilliance Gala on May 31st. Amen. And then following, we'll have this, entree of beautiful food. I can't remember what the menu is, so I was going to tell you, but I can't remember. But if you want to choose your food, make sure you go online and get your tickets now, because the tickets for food will close down after May 31st. 12th or something like that, because we have to tell the cook how many dinners we have in. And if you have allergies, if you got, you know, if you're vegan, make sure you go on there so you can get the food that you want, right? What else we got to say? Oh, with the airless, all that stuff, we also have pizza. So after award show, we will give you pizza because we're going to be drunk, because you get free wine. We just got all kind of things happening at the Overture Center because, you know, we know how to keep it lit. And this is a masquerade ball. So come, the colors are red, black, or gold. And last year, everybody was so elegant and so beautiful. So we're super excited. So I just have to tell you all of that before we get into the tea and the politics. And there are a few people that are going to receive awards that I've notified. So I want to give a big ups to Kaleem Kerr, who has been chosen as our Education Advocate awardee or nominee of the year. So shout out to you. Kaleem Kerr is the founder and CEO of One City, which is a Black-centered charter school in the Dane County. So I'm excited to celebrate him and all of his accomplishments on May 31st. I also want to give a big ups to Ursi Green, who is a Black woman who lived in our community for over forever. I don't know Ursi's history, but she was on the South Side. She worked for Boys and Girls Club for over 25 years. I don't know if it was exactly the Boys and Girls Club, but before it was the Boys and Girls Club, it was the South Side Community Center. That's where we went when I was little. So she was the cook. She was the person that always invited us in and made us feel at home. So we're going to be celebrating Ursi too at our celebration. So I'm excited to do that. And you can actually see Ursi Green's face and along with other Black leaders on the new parking ramp leading off of Park Street. So, you know, they developed this Black hub, a business hub right on Park Street. You get off on a Beltline, you see this big building. It says The Hub. It is owned and operated by the Urban League of Dane County. So shout out for all y'all efforts. And behind there, there's a new parking structure and you can see her beautiful face. So we are excited to celebrate her. We're excited to celebrate a lot of people. Guess who else we're going to celebrate, Luke? Cousin Clyde. Can you believe that?
Really?
Yes.
Is he getting an attendance award?
He need an attendance award.
What kind of award are we celebrating?
Cousin Clyde just stopped messing with me. You know, he'd be funny acting. You just got to just take Cousin Clyde in a grain.
I haven't even seen the video review for the food review.
You know, he just come in and go. Sometimes he do food reviews. Sometimes he's a host. Sometimes he's in Italy. Sometimes he's event planning. Who knows what Cousin Clyde is doing? But I'm excited to celebrate Clyde Mayberry on May 31st at the Black Brilliance Gala for his work and in service to our community. And we'll get in more into that later. But I'm so glad to have you be back and recording today. I'm going to get more with the tea when we return. You know how your girl do here on 92.7 FM. Your hostess with the mostest, Brandi Grayson. Continue to listen because we're about to get into all this racism and this trumpety-dumpety stuff and all the pretty girl privilege, girl. And it is messy because I am a pretty girl, so I can tell you. Stay tuned.
Good, you can't touch my back, but you could. I look fly, I look too good.
You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
Why does it sound like country? You're tuned in to the Black Conversion Show. It makes me want to slow down on 92.7 FM with your girl, Brandi Grayson, the hostess with the mostest and the hostess everybody loves to hate. Thank you for tuning in. Prior to break, we were discussing Urban Triage's Black Brilliance Gala 2025 celebration of unsung heroes. We are encouraging you to purchase your tickets ASAP. Last year, we sold out. And when I say it is blackety black and liddity liddy, you should come and enjoy it. And if you're someone who's listening, like, you know what? I never go to Black specific events. The Overture Center is a safe space, okay? It's safe, it's brilliant, it's gorgeous. Come and hang out with us. And I don't know what else to say. But the one I do want to say the night will be filled with elegance, brilliance, good food, and laughs. I promise you, you guys are going to be entertained. And the dress, I don't know. For my listeners who are unfamiliar with people known as Black, the way Black people dress when we ready to go out and make a stance or a point, it's like none other. I don't know if you watched the Met Gala. Do they call it the Met Gala? What was the gala called over this weekend, Luke? You know, where all the famous people got dressed up.
Isn't it just the Met?
Yeah. The Met. Okay. Yeah. So did you see the Black people? Okay. Did you see their creativity? Did you watch any of the pictures? No, look at you. Luke said no.
See, so it's interesting. My wife usually likes to watch the Met Gala.
Yeah.
And she realized, like, after the fact that it was whatever night this week it was.
Yep.
And so I had NBA basketball on.
Oh,
and
she
she was like, oh, the Met Gala was on tonight. And I was like, well, do you want to go to? And she's like, no, it's already basically over. At that point. So we missed it this year.
Well, check out all the clips and the videos because Black people did not come to play. Jonae Monáe, if you don't know who she is, Jonae Monáe. I'm always messing up people's names all the time. I acknowledge that. Jonae Monáe, she didn't come to play. I can't remember the theme, but whatever theme it was up the alley of Black people. You should have just seen them. Andre 3000 had a piano on his back.
I saw that one. I did see that one.
Our girl Cardi B almost fell up the steps. She had these heels on. That was ridiculous, but it is something to check out. So the reason I bring that up, because Black people, even locally in Madison, Wisconsin, will come to play no games.
Well, apparently the theme was super fine. Tailoring Black style this year.
It was Black.
Yes.
Similar to the NFL Super Bowl. So, you know what I'm saying? Like, you cannot get away from the brilliance of Blackness, okay? I don't care. I know racism got us thinking that we ain't brilliant, but baby, when we show up, we show out. So, anyway, let's move on here in the Black Conversion Show. You're tuned into 92.7 FM. Your girl, Brandi Grayson, one of the Black women in Madison that they love to hate, but they can't help but to love me, okay? So, let's talk about today the dark side of what we call it, pretty privilege, because, you know, there's privilege everywhere. And sometimes we don't recognize the dark side of having privilege. And oftentimes when we talk about privilege, it's specifically around race. But I, as a Black woman, I have plenty of privilege. I mean, I'm fine. You know, I got good skin. And I look like I'm young when I got grandbabies. Okay, grandbabies as old as 10. So there's some privilege that comes with this. But let me dissect with you some of the dark side of it. One of the things that is not talked about often is that a dark side of pretty privilege is being blamed for a man's out-of-pocket behavior because of the way that you look, right? Like attractive females ask or deserve a man's aggressive behavior or abuse, like where people are blaming you for men looking at you. It's not gender specific, right? Where folks can end up blaming you for the attention that you get because you're pretty, or they for their own insecurities, if that makes sense. Another thing I want to say that happens with pretty privilege and one of the dark sides is getting creepy comments or catcalled for, you know, just by walking down the street. It's a dark side. It's uncomfortable. And in nowadays and age, women, generally speaking, can't even like respond or check you anymore because it can lead to your death or murder. There have been women in situations in the news where men have attempted to flirt with, catcall, or be disrespectful, like right out disrespectful, and a woman has rejected them and they end up dead, right? Or beat up badly. Like, I mean, like there's a dark side to this, if that makes sense, right? I don't know. Like, I can't figure out how else to explain some of it. And I wish I had a woman here to talk through it because I feel like I'm talking to myself. Luke, how do you feel about pretty privilege? Do you think it exists? Is there a dark side, in your opinion, from the women that's been around you or even men that look good? Because there is some fine men, okay?
I see it secondhand through my wife. Like, she, my wife is an attractive woman.
Oh, she good looking. Yeah, Luke didn't got lucky. You didn't got a smart woman. I'm not trying to brag here.
I'll put her on a pedestal, though. And she's a good looking lady.
Uh-huh.
And when we're out, like, there are people that will like, either stare too long or make her feel uncomfortable in situations. Yeah. And, like, it is something that I experience with her. Like, I don't personally experience, but I see it. And so it is, even in like a crowded bar and stuff like that, where people decide to put their hands places they shouldn't be putting their hands.
Absolutely.
When they're acting like, oh, sorry, I just was trying to bump past you.
Right.
And so I know the struggle that she goes through and she and I talk about that, but it is definitely an aspect that I have seen in the real world and is definitely you hear like the knee-jerk comments that are, oh, well, you shouldn't be dressed like that.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's like, no, you just should know how to interact with other humans. Like,
you would think it would be common sense.
Yes.
How does that make you feel as a man when those things are happening? to your wife's body.
I get frustrated.
Yeah.
And I get upset. And she, as somebody that experiences it, I'm sure very similar for you, it's like, well, this is just what it is sometimes.
Yep.
And it's like, what else are you going to do? But it's definitely, you got to call it out and you got to talk about it.
Because
if you don't, then things won't ever change.
Yeah, and it's super creepy. You're tuned into the Black Conversion Show on 92.7 FM with your girl, Brandi Grayson. Today, we are discussing the dark side of pretty privilege. One of the things I've experienced from a very young age is sexualization of my body and me as a person and as a kid, right? Like being pretty and grown people saying, grown men saying to me, you are going to be hot when you grow up. Girl, I can't wait to connect or see you, or, you know, like just uncomfortable things. And I didn't really understand it, but the sexualization of me as a little girl. And it was weird for me because as a dark skinned girl, I got those kind of comments, but I also got comments that you so black, you ugly. Or I got comments that was like, you would be pretty if you were light skinned. So I always sat at this kind of intersection of not believing I was pretty. I didn't know that I was attractive until much later in my life because of my skin tone and how people address me. And I was born in the 80s, and people known as black may be more familiar with this, but in the 80s, there was this we were transitioning from like the Black Panther movement, civil rights movement. And the 80s was a place where I think black people forgot. It's almost like we went to sleep. And it was also the age of like heavy crack cocaine in our communities that were put in our communities by the CIA and the DEA. Well, we'll talk about that later in another show. But there was like this sleep that happened for people known as black. So we started to really talk about dark-skinned people a lot. So everywhere I went, it was like, you're so ugly, or just dark-skinned jokes. But as someone who is attractive, that's all people notice. And it's crazy because it's not just men, it's also women. And I've been in situations with people who are gay or people that I'm doing work or movement work with, and they will say things that was inappropriate. And I want to talk more about that, like sexualizing me in the meeting. Like, girl, you need to come on over to this side, or I know you gay, I know you queer, and you need to come over here and let me. So we're going to talk more about that, because it's not just heteronormative where the offenses are taking a place. So stay tuned to the Black Conversion Show with your girl, Brandi Grayson, here on 92.7 FM. When we return, we're going to talk about the letter the Secretary of Education sent to Harvard University. What a fool. What a fool. Let's get into the politics and tree when we return. When we return. All right, your favorite person is back. I don't know about this music, Luke. On 92.7 FM, you're tuned into the Black Conversion Show.
Is that strike two for me?
Yeah, like, all I don't right, know what's going
two.
On. Like,
I'm
you,
trying.
You were my white boy until these last couple cuts. I mean, like.
It's easy. Like, so, it's not Beyonce or Kendrick. Like, I get that, and I'm trying, but we were experiencing some issues with podcast platforms flagging our stuff, and even though we have all of the licensing to run the radio station, run the radio show, there's so many different platforms
that
out
you gotta
there now,
get certified.
And so I'm trying something new, but if it's strike two, I'll be very careful with this last one. We'll see what I can do to avoid strike three.
Like, what is happening? Okay, I'm just messing with Luke.
I'm trying.
Okay, prior to break, you guys, I don't know what we were talking about, but right now we're going to transition into this letter that was, you know, floating around social media from the Secretary of Education. And supposedly she wrote a letter, which she did. I think her name is Linda McMahon.
From the McMahon WWE.
That's his wife?
Yeah. Yeah.
Y'all, every day I learn more and more that United States of America is a joke. Because that is
we
just.
We have a television cabinet. It is a made for TV.
We are in the cabinet. Sunken place / Looney Boons barns. I never felt like this is a joke. Okay. So anyway, she wrote a letter to Harvard ending the grants to their university. And then there was some stuff that went around on social media saying that Harvard School, marked up the letter and sent it back. It was not real. I wish it was real, but it was so funny to read, and I was so hoping that it was real. But basically, the letter just says that they're removing millions of dollars from Harvard. And I don't know what that means for the education and for people known as black and other folks who are, you know, that falls under this DEI, new defining of DEI by our Trump administration. It's just sad, right? Like, we already are not as educated as other countries. Like, we are behind. Our kids don't write cursive. They don't learn the proper, like, understanding of critically thinking. Our children are entitled. They don't do homework no more. Everybody needs a trophy. Like, it's just a whole bunch of softies running around. And I mean that even for my kid. I had to, this last week or two, just be more intentional about not allowing him to practice entitlement, and also me standing on my word. Because one thing, my dad was in town this weekend and he was around me and Messiah, and we were hanging out. And I'll tell you the story about my dad at another time, but I just recently met my dad in the last few years, which is crazy, y'all, the way the universe works. But we'll get into that later. But he said, like, raising a young boy, and I'm at this time a single mom because his dad is in prison, for folks who did not know. He's gone, right? So Messiah has his moments of acting up. And the one thing my dad said to me as advice is, like, you have to be a doer with boys. You can't do all this talking. Like, you do a lot of talking to him, but you need to do. Like, so whatever you say, stand on it and leave it at that. So I've been practicing that with him, and it's been really hard. But I just bring that up because what the heck is happening in our education? Why are we allowing it? And I mean, we have a president that's about to spend $100 million of tax people money to have a birthday party for himself. And then he's justifying it, saying that it falls on some kind of military date that it actually doesn't fall on. It doesn't even exist. And then he's spending like $1 billion for golfing. Like, what kind of reality are we in? You don't want to feed Black children. You don't want to help farmers. You don't want to have Medicaid or health care, but you're going to allow this dude who doesn't even understand his relationship or the history of the United States relationships and partnerships with other countries like China or Canada to go play golf on our dime. I just wonder when we as Americans are going to wake up and stop paying taxes, because I pay 1/3 of all of my income to the federal government and the state. I'm going to need my money back, because if I can't pay for someone to eat lunch or I can't pay for someone to have health care, then I'm not into this tax thing. Because it's not making sense to me. Okay, I breathe. I exhale. You're listening to the Black Conversion Show on 92.7 FM with your girl, Brandi Grayson. I want to play this clip from Maya. Let's go into the clip from Maya Angelou. She's explaining why people fear being woke, like what this whole DEI thing. Mind you, this was years before, right? Maya Angelou is not around. You know, she's transitioned. So this is years before. But this clip is right on point to why things are happening. Go ahead, Luke.
People are afraid to die, so they clutch to something which they think will preserve their lives. So they try to guarantee happiness to themselves by shunting dirt and misery off on someone else. People feel, if I can keep them out of this building, them off this street, them out of this employment line, I'll live a little longer. They don't think it consciously, but that is fundamental. People are afraid to be pried loose from their ignorance, because they know their ignorance so well, they know it better than they know their body odors. And if you say, come on, give up your ignorance, they get into that terrible position, terrifying. They'd rather bear the ills they have than fly to others that they know not of. Thus conscience doth make cowards of us all.
So all of this, per Maya Angelou, is really about the fear of dying. And one of the things in the fear of dying, and for white people, Luke, where do you think that comes from?
That's heavy. I don't know. Mortality, like just the awareness of our own mortality.
Well, yes. And like, I don't know if you guys are familiar with Dr. Frances Cressing Wessing. She was the author of the ISIS paper, but she talks heavily in this book, probably is now blocked from being purchased. So if you don't have the book, you need to get it, or if you need to get it. But anyway, she talks about white people fear of genetic annihilation, and that's the fear of death. Like, and if you go back in time, and this is a theory, and you should probably just research it, but if you go back in time, there is biology, science, that backs that. Back in the day, the only race in that's been found in scientific study to embody or have the genetic coding for Neanderthals. Am I saying that word? Neanderthals.
Neanderthals?
Yeah, there you go. See, you got the same pronunciation. We good. Yeah, you know what we're talking about, though. Yeah. It's white folks. So you guys have the only genes. And what occurred, supposedly, according to the theory and the scientists, is that people known as Black crossed over the ocean and made it with Neanderthals. And because they made it, then there was this, we wiped off the genetics or whatever. And, you know, kind of like when you make black people mate with white people and the fear that whiteness will go away over time because it's a recessive gene. So Maya Angelou is saying people are afraid to be woke. They're afraid to deal with afraid to allow black people freedom. They're afraid to allow other people freedom, because if you are allowed to have access to resources, or if you're allowed to have opportunities that are equitable, then that might wipe them out, right? Genetically and otherwise. They may no longer have the privilege. They may not be able to hold on or have the kind of power and control that white people in our country currently have and across the globe, right? It's not, white supremacy racism isn't a local dynamic. It is a global system. And if you pay attention to history, well, not the white people history, the history that y'all been taught, the globe used to be blue-black. I mean, black-black. And like, not, you know, if you study Aboriginal people, they're not brown, they're not white, they're blue-black. They're so dark, you can't even see them. And I was telling my son the other day, you're tuned into the Black Conversion Show on 92.7 FM with your girl, Brandi Grayson. But I was talking to my son the other day about this island. I can't remember the name of the island, but it's outside of Australia. Luke, do you remember that story a few years ago when a white guy traveled to this forbidden island that no one was allowed, and he went anyway because he wanted to meet the Aboriginal people, and they killed him? Do you remember that?
It sounds vaguely familiar, but I feel like there's always like some, that's a theme.
Yeah,
like,
it is a theme.
Like, both in Australia, yep, in the Amazon, yep, in different areas of the globe where, mm-hmm, where there are native people, mm-hmm, that are not on the modern grid.
Right.
I don't understand people's desire to go
and interrupt it, right?
No.
Yeah. So, and you guys, for people who don't know, there's populations that exist like that. Like, they're just off the grid, and it's forbidden to go to their island, to mix with them, to be a part of anything. But my point of bringing them up is they're blue-black. They haven't had contact with Western civilization. They're so black, they're blue. And so my point is that any time that when we talk about white supremacy, we have to understand the fear and unconscious fear of annihilation. And someone else was explaining, I think it was my dad, that said he thinks that there's this need to hoard everything. Like this thing that if you give up anything, then you lose everything. So they hoard all the resources and they hold them tight, and they'll hold them tight even at their own demise. So if we just take a look at the way people voted, like, it was the demise of self. It wasn't just black people, but there's this illusion that black people are the target versus themselves being the target, when we're all the target. The whole system of white supremacy is an illusion. And it's really not about race, it's about power. But the system has us like sleep. Right. And that's why Trump is like, forget being woke, you know, because if you're woke, you might just believe and like change your mind. And the black people might start uniting with the white people, and the farmers might get like, wait, your black freedom is wrapped up in my freedom, and I want to be free too. So that's why they're going out of this whole woke thing. Let's take another listen real quick, Luke, to the clip from Toni Morrison. And for folks who don't know, these are black women writers, leaders in, you know, communities, our elders. So look them up, because they had a lot of books and literature on racism. Yep. So go ahead with the clip on The Psyche of Racism by Toni Morrison.
Don't you understand that the people who do this thing, who practice racism,
right,
are bereft? There is something distorted about the psyche. It's like it's a profound neurosis that nobody examines for what it is. It feels crazy. It is crazy. I take your race away, and there you are, all strung out, and all you got is your little self. And what is that? What are you without racism? Are you any good? Are you still strong? You still smart? You still like yourself? I mean, these are the questions. If you can only be tall because somebody's on their knees, then you have a serious problem. And my feeling is white people have a very, very serious problem, and they should start thinking about what they can do about it.
I love that she ends with that, or that clip. She probably, the interview probably went way longer than that. But I love how she ends, like, white people need to start really deep diving and thinking about the problem here, because it's their problem. And when we talk about like the protests and organizing and why black people aren't out there, because at the end of the day, like, this is an awakening and epiphany for people known as black. Like, this is really y'all problem, and y'all really have to stand on it and really build your analysis and education around it, because to continue to treat people in a dehumanized way, deporting people that are citizens of the United States and allowing it. And when you have the power, like white people right now in our country has the power to shut everything down. If all white people who voted for Trump or impacted by Trump, their parents, their children, the education system is impacted, our Medicaid, our Social Security, all these systems that support all people of our country, if they decide right now, no more, we're not going to tolerate this no more. And they stop if they just organize. And the organization can be as simple as nobody's going to work until this man is moved out of office. Like the whole everything was shut down. Like ain't no news, ain't no radio stations, ain't no deliveries, ain't no groceries, ain't no nothing. Like y'all gonna need to get y'all stuff in order, because we are allowing ourselves to be murdered, like slowly. And I mean murdered spiritually, emotionally, mentally, because of this administration. And it's wild to me. So that's just my little opinion of what needs to happen. And my opinion is supported by many leaders, but probably not articulated that way. There is a clip that I want to go into, but we'll go into it in the next segment. But quickly, I want you to listen to this silence in this clip when your boy, your president, Trump, attended the Pope's funeral. Like, this is why we're a laughing joke, and everybody thinks something is wrong with us and wrong with him. Take a listen to this clip. It's one of my favorite clips because it's wild. Like, you can't see it visually, but I want you to imagine it. Everyone's clapping.
This is Zelensky walking in, everybody's clapping.
Yeah, for Zelensky.
And that silence earlier was Trump coming in.
Oh,
nobody
it didn't
claps.
Really come in good. Yeah. Okay. So the world leaders is applauding. So when it's like this tweet, like this silence, Trump walks in, no one says anything, which is hilarious. And you see him like shaking, like, hey, y'all. And they're like, whatever, dude. And then Zelensky walk in and there's like standing ovation, like, yay! So the sound wasn't that great, but I thought it was hilarious. And I wanted to demonstrate that either we're like in a different trans, like we're, I don't know, are we, like what is happening, Luke? Like everyone around us, the world knows that something is wrong, but we just keep getting along. And are we getting along? Do you think everybody's getting along, or are we not seeing what's occurring, like the rebellion?
I think I don't know what's going on, honestly. Like, it's tough. It's tough.
Let's talk more when we get back, Luke. We don't have an answer, right? We just know that we living in La La Land here on the Black Conversion Show on 92.7 FM with your girl, Brandi Grayson, your hostess with the mostest. We'll be back in a jiff.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Oh, okay, Luke. I'm about to do some salsa or something.
Did
okay.
I strike out, or are we okay?
You did.
With this?
You struck out. But I mean, I was trying to be gentle with you this time, Luke. You're tuned into the Black Conversion. You're tuned into the Black Conversion Show on 92.7 FM with your girl, Brandi Grayson. So yeah, we were just talking about racism before the break, as we often do, because that's kind of my thing. That's kind of what I do in life and everywhere around. And it's also the thing why people really dislike me. and I'm okay with it, because people actually really love me too. And I really like the people who love me. And I actually like the people who hate me. So it all works out at the end. So one of the things I want to get to is this lady, Shiloh Hendricks, who raised over $700,000 for so there was this $700,000 on this platform called Give, Send, Go. This is a Christian founded site, a platform. And the dude who is the co-founder, Jacob Wells, told the news, in Minnesota, Minneapolis, Rochester, said, hey, you know, we crowdfund for any and everybody, and usually things that are, people feel aren't legit or nice, I guess. So the So let me tell you a little bit about this woman. So she's at a park with her baby. There's a 5-year-old kid who's autistic, who happens to be Black. That baby's at the park too. Allegedly, the baby went into, I said that the baby found something in the park, but allegedly the 5-year-old went into the diaper bag and got a toy. Just going to remind you that this kid is autistic, right? And then another bystander, not even the parents of the 5-year-old kid, recorded this woman's interaction and started to record because she got really aggressive with this 5-year-old and then called this 5-year-old the N-word and then went to like attack the kid. And the dude that was filming said, no, you're not. And you can hear him on the film. So you were just about to hit that kid? Like, the lady got irate, like, over this toy. And then because she went viral, so she went viral, and then there was an investigation by Rochester Police Department. And so after that, she goes on to her platform and does this crowdfunding and asks people to raise money for her so that she can protect herself. And she's raised over $700,000. That's what gross looks like. These are the same people contributing to her that are probably voted for Trump. And I'm wondering if this same dude who is a co-founder said, you know, he said cancellation culture or cancellation isn't the way to move the narrative forward. That's what he said, according to the news. He said, actually, the diversity of ideas, even toxic, ones that we believe are toxic, we need to deal with. And we need to bring the issue, the story to the front. And then the culture can start to wrestle with it in the open where it should be, because that's what Jesus would do. So that's why they're raising money for her. So I wonder if he would raise money for the same family or for the dude named from Cincinnati, Ohio, Rodney Hinton Jr. Was charged with aggravated murder after allegedly killing a sheriff deputy, Larry Henderson, with his car after his son, Ryan Hinton, was fatally shot by police officer in a separate incident. So he was accused of intentionally striking the deputy who was not involved in his son's death, but he was outraged with police and his son didn't have a gun, but he was murdered. So I'm wondering if this same dude, Mr. Wells, would be willing to run a crowdfunding for him. If, I mean, based on the same premise, if it's toxic, then the person should be allowed to raise money and for their defense, and they should be allowed and it should be brought to the forefront. And what I can tell you that Christian platform would not raise money for this Black man. So, you know, I don't know. Do I think that the guy who murdered the sheriff should have murdered the sheriff? No, I don't think he should have done that. I also know what I couldn't imagine losing my kid. And I said to y'all before, never say never. I would never murder anyone unless I was protecting myself, but never say never. And I think one of the things as a country we need to contend with is that this turning the other cheek is coming to an end. And I think people known as Black have had so much rage that we have nowhere to put it. And then we end up like just harming ourselves and going inward. And I don't know if you guys are familiar. Again, you're tuned into the Black Conversion Show on here on 92.7 FM with Brandi Grayson. There was another hit and run this weekend in Madison in Cottage Grove. Did you hear about that, Luke?
I did not.
Oh, my God. So this man in Cottage Grove ran over a family. And the crazy part about this article and news story, and it was on Channel 27, WKOW. So the suspect accused of hitting the Cottage Grove family actually died like the next day in Dane County Jail. So what occurred is that they're actually neighbors and they were friends and their sons were friends and they hung out. Well, supposedly the family that was ran over, their son had victimized and assaulted the other guy's son. So we don't know the details of it. We don't know if it was sexual assault, but they found the pictures of the assault and victimization of this man's son on the boy's phone. So the man was distraught. I mean, like, he was depressed. He was going crazy. So apparently, they both lived in the same neighborhood. Apparently, he sees them walking down the street, the family, the mother, the dog, the son, and he runs them over. He goes full-fledged, runs them over, and kills the mother. And then he dies after the accident in Dane County Jail. So some people are saying that it must have been like a blood clot or something that happened, or he had some kind of injury from the accident, but nothing has been, you know, release. And if you look at his pictures on CCAP, he looked so distraught, y'all. Like, the man was not well. So whatever that family did to that other family child sent him over the ledge. And I'm comparing the two because we have a black man in Ohio that child was murdered by the police and went crazy, right? And for lack of better terminology, and killed another officer that was unrelated. And in Dane County, Cottage Grove, we have another family, and these are white folks, that ran a family over because his son was victimized by the other son, and he literally tried to take them out. So I would say that when we talk about humanity, it's messy, and it's not this black or white thing. So when we talk about this girl, Shiloh Hendricks, raising $700,000 after calling a black autistic kid the N-word, it's absolutely ridiculous because y'all have a different idea of who deserves provision and protection and covering. And you don't think this Ryan dude does. You don't. You probably think this white dude in College Grove does. And I'm going to tell you and just have you get into discovery of what's the difference between the black dude who killed the cop and ran him over and the white dude who ran over the entire family, including the dog. He actually killed the dog and the mother. And I bet you the response from our community will be mental health. Right? Because he's white. It's always mental health. And by the way, Trump is closing down mental health services and resources because he too said mental health is the issue with guns. So this is our reality. This is what racism looks like. This is what the psyche of racism looks like. Like this distinction between black and white. So anyway, my time is up. I hope you enjoy me because I missed you and I miss talking. So until next time, you're listening to 92.7 FM WMDX with your girl Brandi Grayson on the Black Convergence Show. Oh, before I go, check out the Mother's Day community event at Randolph Park this Sunday, starting at 12. Free food, free music. Done by a group of community members. Check them out this Sunday. Thank you. Peace and love and hair grease.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.